right now, and we are rolling.
Okay. So just try to answer with complete sentences, because I probably won't be in the tape when they edit it.
Yeah.
So could you introduce yourself?
James Schaefer, owner of Charleston Broom and Mop Company.
And how long have you been making brooms?
70 years.
Could you tell me where we are right now? Just describe.
Loudondale. It's 1 mile short of Kanawha State Forest.
And how did you get into broom making?
Well, I had quit school, and there was a couple other boys lived in the neighborhood that was already working over there, and they told me there was an opening, so I went over and went to work and stuck with it.
And where was that?
It was over right on the railroad track, just between the Capitol Building and Laidley Field.
Oh, pretty close to my house.
It's now a state parking lot there by Laidley Field.
Could you talk about that first day on the job?
Well, the first day on the job, I went in and talked to the owner or the boss, whatever, and he told me that he had supposedly had an experienced man coming in to operate the sewing machine that he was, you know, that I was interviewing for. So, but he said they had two of the sewing machines. His brother was operating one of them. Of course, the other one was vacant. And he told me, he says, go up there and watch Mac sew some brooms and see what you think of the job. So I went up there and watched his brother sew a few brooms, and he told him what had transpired between me and his brother. He said, well, come on back here at this other machine and I'll show you, let you show you. So he took me back there to the other machine, showed me what to do, and so I stayed there and tried to learning to make or sew the brooms for maybe an hour and a half, and his brother, the boss, come up and says, well, what do you think about it? I said, well, it's a job. I said, it's all right, it's good with me. I said, do you want me to go ahead and run the machine, or do you want me to come back, you know, tomorrow or sometime? He said, well, you're here, you just well go ahead and stay. So that was the hiring of the job. So I've been there ever since.
How many people were working at the...
It was about 18 or 20 of us working there at that time. Of course, it was a lot of difference in the straw. You had to have as many people sorting and separating the straw, getting it ready for making brooms, as you did people actually making the brooms itself. So... we had anywhere from 3 to 4 broom makers, which was actually assembling the straw onto the handle. And my job was to flatten the broom out and sew it to where it would be a flat broom. It was basically a round broom when they finished with it. So.
At that time, about how many brooms would you make today, or make a day, and where would you send
them? We basically make up to 300 dozen a week, which was basically, basically a tractor trailer load per week.
And where would those go? Where would they?
Well, all over the eastern United States, Ohio, Kentucky, New York.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah,
I like that answer, but can you say we'd ship them out to that way we know.
So I can get cut out of the tape.
Okay, we'd ship them.
Oh, look at Emily, please.
You're responding to me. Respond
just
to
look
Emily.
At me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just pretend he's not.
I don't
there.
Hear you too well.
So okay. Yeah, I'm not here at all. Just look at Emily. And
okay.
Talk to her.
But we ship probably half of what we made to other states. We'd ship into Kentucky, Louisville, Nashville, all over the Kentucky area, actually. Ohio, we'd ship them all the way up to Cleveland, and even Chicago, Cincinnati. We shipped into Pennsylvania somewhat, and New York, even up in Connecticut. We shipped brooms to Macy's in New York for years, as well as a couple of other large department stores. That was during the war years when you could sell any brooms you could make, pretty much. The big stores as well as the grocery stores and hardwares were always prime customers, but it kind of pried you a little bit to ship to Schwartz's in Cincinnati or Macy's in New York and whatnot like that.
How have you seen that change?
Well, the change has been in the usage of brooms, straw brooms. They have so many, instead of sweeping sidewalks and outside garage areas and everything, they use the gasoline blowers now to blow the dirt and dust away. Same thing in the house with these new laminate floors they have. They're so slick that they've developed dust mops type things for those sweeping the house and things, those that have those floors, and there's, you know, an awful lot of them. So the broom industry is fading out. I suspect another 5 to 7 years you won't find a straw broom in the store. The plastic fibers and those duster things for the slick floors.
How do you feel about that?
Well, that's just a natural occurrence. If you can find something better, they're going to go do it. I have no objections to it. If it wasn't for Lions Clubs selling brooms as their fundraisers, I wouldn't have a business today. Back 20, 30 years ago or further back, we didn't sell hardly any Lions Clubs. It was all wholesale distributors. But Walmart, Kmart, and Kroger's have took all that over now, and you don't have any mom-and-pop stores to buy from the wholesale distributors, so they all went out of business.
Real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, do you need to go stand over there so it's easier to hold?
No, I'm just switching arms.
You okay?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. Could you tell me how you started your shop here?
Well, back in 86, I had always planned on starting a shop of my own, but I'd stayed with the company over there because they owned the real estate where they were at, and they were trying to sell the real estate. And as you know, to sell a empty, vacant building is not too good price-wise, so I stayed with them to help them sell their business, which they never did. And in 86, I had a slight heart attack, and it kind of scared the people that owned it at that time. They never did have anything to do with operating the factory per se. That was always left up to me. I run it just like I owned it for 10, 15 years. But they got afraid that my heart attack would do me in, and as far as working was concerned, so they decided to close up while they could. And so at the same time, I'd already built this building for this purpose on a deal that were a glass company up in Fairmont was going to buy the broom shop over there and turn it into a restaurant. And it was going to be the Broom Factory Restaurant. You know, back at that time, there was a lot of that done. Depots and different things like that were turned into restaurants. So I was well prepared. I didn't miss a day from the time they stopped over there, and I had my machinery and everything here and set up and was ready to go.
So at that time, you were the only employee at the other shop?
No, there was three other employees. I worked two of them for a while out here, but business dropped off enough that I didn't need them. I just worked them part-time and was lucky enough to have somebody experienced that I could call on. Wish I had them now.
Yeah, so what is going to happen to the shop and to the
business? Well, when I finally give up on it, I guess it'll just die. I don't know. A lot of people in the Lions Club kind of worry about it. Some of them have even considered, you know, trying to run it on their own. And nobody's come up. It's just not a profitable enough business to stay in unless you're basically in my position where you're Roosevelt's sending you that Roosevelt check every month, Social Security. That's your living, and this is spending money here.
So have you taught any apprentices over the years?
I've taught a lot of people to do the job, or make brooms and whatnot, but none of them have ever stuck with it.
Could you tell me what makes a good broom?
Well, it's the quality of the straw that you use, and of course, placing it in there at the right part. The tip of the straw is the very best of sweeping quality. And a lot of people will cut the ends off after they make a broom, cut the end off, and we do too. But I don't cut very little of it off because the tips of the straw, the least you cut off the end of it, the better it sweeps.
When you go to a store, do you look at their brooms and size?
Everyone. I take one down and inspect it close for a lot of different parts, to see where it came from for sure, who made it, and how they made it, what they made it out of. So.
Do you want to have that rephrased?
Yes.
Can you say, when I go to a store?
Oh, okay. When I go into the store, I always check the broom rack to see what broom they have in the rack and how it's made, what it's the quality of it, the quality of the straw they're using in it. As well as the price and everything.
How does a synthetic broom compare to one of your brooms?
The synthetic plastic straw doesn't compare to a natural corn broom at all, the sweeping quality of it.
It just doesn't pick up as much?
It just doesn't pick up as much, right? It'll You have to sweep the same spot four or five times to move the dirt or dust, whatever it might be, as you do with a corn broom.
And why is 5 bands the standard?
Well, I really don't know why 5 bands is standard. It was that way when I got here. But it depends on the size of the broom. And more than the 5 bands of sewing on it, it's the number of stitches that's in each band. A lot of places will only put 7 to 9 stitches in each band. And I always put anywhere from 9 to 12 in each stand. But it keeps it from falling apart as you're using it and flexing it.
Could you tell me what the different models of brooms are that you make?
The
different models you have, like the heavy
duty. Yeah, well, you like everything else, you need a variety of whatever you're offering or making. And, of course, you make some lightweight brooms because some of the smaller, frail women or older women can't handle a larger one. And once again, we started building them larger when they started increasing the uses of driveways and patios and things outside sweeping. The men would want a heavier duty broom. And
can we redo that question, please?
Sure.
I went to a wide shot, and I want to remove this T-shirt real quick.
Oh.
I'm going to take your T-shirt and move it over here, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Just throw it down or on the rack or anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
There you go. This is a tight squeeze. I'm not a little person. Oh. Okay.
So could you tell me about the models, the different models of brooms?
Well, say some of you make some of the smaller brooms out of a little shorter straw, and of course then four bands of sewing. We see a lot of them in the store today with three bands of sewing. I don't approve of that. I don't think I've ever made an order for anyone with three bands. I have used five and six, but it's just a matter of personal opinion to me as to that sewing of the broom makes a durability longer if it's sewn tight enough that it doesn't in time flex and come loose to where it flips instead of sweeps.
So you look down on a three-band broom?
Well, sure. Whatever product you're into, anybody else don't come up to your standards. You don't approve of it. And I've always been one that didn't think that I should go and meet that cheaper built item. I always depended on quality and word of mouth for advertising.
Could you tell me about the different types of brooms that you make?
Well, we make small whisk brooms for sweeping cars and even machinery. A lot of machine places use the hand whisk broom to sweep their machinery off. And then we make toy brooms for children. You see a lot of them more so now. You see them in restaurants and things like that where they go along with a little toy broom and a dustpan to pick up stuff during the day. Then as I say, we make a few what we call lightweight or medium weight brooms for the elderly, and then a regular household broom, and then the heavy duty. I do make a few even extra heavy duty for roofing companies that sweep the gravel on the gravel roofs, the flat roofs. They sweep and spread the gravel with a broom that's real heavy, heavy duty straw.
I had a question, but it just went out of my head. Who have you made brooms for? Have you made them for special occasions?
Well, yes, I've made them for about every kind of special agent you can. Anywhere from what now, I'll probably in the next week or two get an order for witches brooms, which I have made a few before. I don't make them per se and try to go out and sell them. I don't do anything that way. I wait till the customer comes to me and requests something or other. But I've I had a customer out in California years ago that I made a lot of real lightweight household brooms. They were made for a big grocery store similar to Sandy here. And they offered brooms as well as all kinds of little novelties where they used to decorate their store with, which weren't furniture, but they offered that stuff for sale along with their furniture. Excuse me.
What does a witch's broom look like?
Well, it's just a round broom, and a lot of times, well, I have black straw to make it out of, paint the handle black and make with black straw.
Do you use a curved handle?
No, I used to do a lot of the curved handles and doing arts and craft brooms, but I don't do enough of the witch's brooms. I have a few of the curved handles around somewhere right now, left over from many years ago.
Yeah, so I saw at Pile Hardware you had a black handle.
Yes, they carry a black straw, black handle broom. They're the only ones that carry it. And that's partially because I can't buy the black straw anymore. I've got some left that I bought years ago.
And is that just aesthetics or is it for a different purpose?
Well, it's for just appearance more so than any else, but the dyeing of the straw does make it last longer. It just doesn't wear as fast. I don't know what it's, I guess the dye slickens the straw where there's not as much friction on it.
Are there changes in where you source your materials from?
Yes, big changes there. I have to keep hunting for out there, you know, places to buy. Today, there's only two places in the U.S. to buy broom straw. You can buy handles a lot of different places, but the straw, I either have to get it out of South Carolina or San Antonio, Texas. I used to get it a lot of places, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Columbus, Greensboro, North Carolina, even back further, Kansas and Oklahoma. But since all the growing of the straw now went to Mexico, and there's less brooms made and less straw, there's less places that are profitable enough to stay in the business.
You told me off the tape that you used to, farmers used to bring in their straw. Could you say that again?
Back years ago, they used to be local farmers. Broom corn will grow anywhere. It just didn't grow a good looking quality here. The fog and dampness of the air causes it to be kind of speckled red or brown in color. That just doesn't go over that well in today's market. What the dry conditions in the western states as well as Mexico, it grows a lot clearer, greener straw. It doesn't sweep any better, but it looks better.
Could you walk me through a typical day here?
Well, a typical day, you just come in and look around, see what you need and which broom or which mop or whatever you need. You decide from what orders you got and what stock you got. You decide what size you want to, what product you want to produce that day, and gather up the straw, which takes about four or five different grades and lengths of straw to make a broom. So you know whether you're working with a little short broom or household broom or a heavy duty, you have to gather up the straw and the handles to match that and go to the tying machine then and start tying them. Usually I'll tie, if I've got an order for three or four dozen that I need, I'll tie that many, or if I've got it for 10 dozen, I'll tie that many brooms onto the handle with the wire. And then when I get that quality made up, I go to the sewing machine then, press them out flat and sew them, and finish them up, bundle them, package them for to go out. So your day varies according to how many what orders come in or what orders you have. In the last year or so, I've not been able to build up any stock, but I haven't had to make anybody wait very long either. It's like the order I have for Kanawha City Lions Club. I have one or two of those items made up, but mostly I'll have to make them. And it's I'll make whatever grade, how many household brooms they want, I'll make them and then sew them and finish them up, and then I'll go back and make the next size, whatever they need, and work with it that way. Try to keep it in order of the way the orders come in.
What's the highlight of your day?
I don't have a highlight of my day. Every day is the same. I get up, get my breakfast, and come to work and do whatever I need to do. I don't have a highlight of the day. It's all in a day's work, as they say.
What keeps you doing it?
Well, you got to have something to do. And I feel great every day. So I have to do something. Since if I wasn't here making brooms, I'd be maybe over at McDonald's making hamburgers or something. I mean, you need to keep yourself occupied and busy if you're able to. And thank goodness I've been able to pretty much all my life.
So I noticed this picture on your wall that says NRA code broom industry. Could you tell me what that is?
That was the original regular work and regulations setting wages, how many hours you could work, or where your overtime started for working excessive hours, and the minimum wage, setting the minimum wage. That was done back under Roosevelt. Have to mention him again.
Are you a Roosevelt fan?
Kinda, yeah.
And why is that?
Well, I don't know. He did a lot of good things. I don't think anybody could ever do any more for the elderly people. He allowed us to get old by not, by having that to where we could slow down and not work as hard in our later years. Most people go ahead and quit at 65 or 70. I just never was in a position that I felt like I wanted to do that.
Could you say something with Roosevelt's name in it? So I'm a fan of Roosevelt, or because you just said he instead of.
Yeah, Franklin D. Roosevelt, as far as I'm concerned, was the best leader and will always be the best leader that the country's ever had.
And so he recognized when there was an actual broom industry.
Well, he recognized all industry. He put out special. I used to have the printed instructions and laws, bylaws, and regulations for that NRA sign. But when I moved out here from over in Charleston, it disappeared. Somebody took it off of the wall before I was busy doing other things. And Some or another, it disappeared off of the wall.
What do you listen to while you work?
Country music. Country and Western.
And do you have a favorite artist?
No favorite artist. Just the older, the better. Match my own time of growing up.
I'm going to look through my questions to make sure I've gotten. So are you the only, are there other broom makers in the state of West
no.
Virginia?
No. There's no others in the state other than ones that make craft brooms out to these craft fairs and things like that. They don't make anything to sell to the wholesaler or the Lions clubs or anything.
Can you say that again? There's, or I'm the only broom maker.
Well, I'm the only commercial broom maker making commercial brooms in the state. There's a few that make some craft brooms for wall hangings and things of that type. But all the other shops have give up. There used to be 4 or 5 shops here in the Kanawha Valley that made brooms to sell. We were always the largest of them, but there was one on the west side, one in Nitro, one in South Ruffner. There was another one or two in the state. Clarksburg had a pretty good size one at one time, but they've been gone for 20 years or more probably. They finally went bankrupt. You either go bankrupt or you just often quit because there's not enough profit there to stay.
I know you do it in stages, but how fast can you make one broom, would you say?
Well, basically, if I one broom, in just the normal work, I don't mean trying to break a record of making one broom, but probably 8 to 10 minutes.
So how many do you make in a day?
Well, I make probably 30, 35. Up until the last 3 or 4 years, I'd make 50 a day. But times changes everything, whether you realize it or not.
And I notice your lunchbox. Do you, what do you eat for lunch?
I bring whatever we had yesterday for dinner. That's my lunch. I don't bring sandwiches. I don't average bringing a sandwich once a month. It's always beans and potatoes or meatloaf, I think's what I got today. So, and fruit. I eat more fruit than I do anything else. I eat probably at least three, maybe 4 fruits per day.
That's your secret.
Well, I don't know whether it's a secret or not, but it works. It works for me.
Let's see. How much do you sell your brooms for?
Well, it varies. The household broom sells for basically $65 a dozen, and the heavy-duty broom sells for $85 a dozen. Whisk brooms are like $40 with them and toy brooms.
Yeah. Do you know how much they sell them at Pyle Hardware?
Yeah, Pyle Hardware sells them. I don't know what he sells them for. I know he has them, and when I go into his store, I don't have to check his rack. I know what he's got, so I don't go look, see what he's selling them for. I try not to tell any of my customers what to sell their brooms for. I just tell them what I charge for them.
And who are your main customers these days?
Well, my main customers are Lions Clubs, and I don't have a bigger one than, you know, enough one in their groups. A lot of them will just buy a couple of dozen at a time. Some of them will buy maybe 10 dozen at a time or even 15. But once again, they usually just buy once a year. Some of the ones a little closer will buy 1 or 2 dozen and buy them 3 or 4 times a year.
Do you have advice to a young person who is interested in broom making?
Yeah, don't do it. But there's nothing wrong with it, but you got to have an income other than your broom making. You just use it as a substitute for as you go along for spending money or something like that. It'd be, you know, unless you work other people, you can't manufacture brooms one-on-one and sell them and make a living. You have to have other people working for you, and you make part of your living off of them and whatever you can manage to work and make on your own.
And could you tell me about the mops that you make?
Well, I make string mops. What I use mostly is cotton and nylon blend with her, and they use leftover material from the textile mills and things like that, and remanufacture the string for mop string.
And you said you're making more and more all the time. Why?
Well, because the other companies are ceased making that type of mop and that size mop, and they're going more into mops that you don't. What I make, you have to wring it out by hand when you finish using it, and they're making ones with gadgets on them that you don't have to touch the dirty string of the mop to wring it out. It has some kind of a squeegee built on it or something that you can wring it out that way.
Do you guys have any questions?
Nope.
Well, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, not really, just at the fact that I appreciate the Lions Clubs and anyone else, actually, that stops by. Only downfall I have of making brooms here is being here by yourself all the time. Sometimes I'll go a week without somebody walking through the door, but it really doesn't bother me a whole lot, but I do enjoy company.
What are your hours?
From 9 to 4 o'clock.
Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday, yes.
Can you rephrase that? Say I work usually?
I'm open now from about 9 o'clock of the morning till 4:30 or 4 o'clock of the evening. And I work Monday through Friday. I try to take Saturdays off just to loaf with the family or loaf.
Could you just introduce yourself again and say your name, how old you are, and the name of your business?
Yeah. Well, I'm James Schaefer. Most people call me Jim. I'm 87 years old, and I'm the owner of Charleston Broom and Mop Company here in Loudondale, only 1 mile short of Kanawha State Forest.
I have a question. Yep. So you've been making brooms for
70 years.
Did you ever think that maybe, or do you ever wonder, like, me about doing something else? Like, have you ever wondered if I would have ever done
a lot of
else?
Times we would when I was work. Okay, a lot of times in the earlier years when I worked for the company over town, we'd get overstocked with brooms and maybe only work 2 or 3 days a week. Well, when that happened, I went out a lot of times and tried to get jobs other places. But as a result of it, when we were down like that and only working part-time, seemed like everybody else was too. So I never was, I don't know whether it was fortunate enough to get another job or unfortunate enough. I've never decided which was. I've been content and happy with what I've done. So maybe if I'd have went somewhere else, I wouldn't have been as happy with my life.
Do you have other hobbies?
Not really. I never had much time for hobbies. It was always work, work, work. That's basically the only hobby I've had is working. Just like my spare time, I built this building. I built the house next door for my son back many years ago. I built the house I live in. And did that in my spare time. And so there's always more than enough to occupy your time.
What do you find yourself thinking about while you're making brooms every day?
Everything. Just the world situation, maybe what I might get into this weekend, or there's just nothing in particular that runs through your mind day in and day out. It's just the general lifestyle that you live and what you might do.
Do you have anything else you'd like to share?
Not that I can think of. No.
All right.
That's not unusual to say. It don't think as good as it did.
Well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.